Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Pei Vav. One of the highlights of the ninth parak of Shabbos is these next three or four blot of Gemara as we prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. There are a couple of other issues that are going to be coming up over the course of these daf, but most central to these next three or four days of daf Yomi is going to be the Hachana of Matan Torah. I strongly recommend for all of us, myself first and then everyone else, to go over the 19th parak of Shmos. The 19th parak of Shmos deals with the Hachana, the preparation that was required by Bnei Yisrael before Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai, seminal moment in the history of the Jewish people, divine revelation to the entire Jewish people, and the Aseret HaDibros, where two of them were said by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the remaining eight were said by Moshe. So this obviously is a seminal event. This is what defines the Jewish people, and in fact, what makes the Jewish people. And so what we are going to be dealing with over the course of our Gemara today, tomorrow, Sunday, a little bit Monday, is going to be this preparation that was required for Matan Torah. So the first thing our Mishnah is going to deal with is Minayin Lepolat Shechva Zera Bayom HaShlishi Shitameya. Now, we're going to discuss this in a somewhat circuitous fashion, meaning, basically, let me just give a couple of words of introduction, and then you'll see how our Mishnah is going to be coming at it. First of all, as you know, we're in the ninth parak of Shabbos, which means that we're not learning about Shabbos. The ninth parak of Shabbos takes a little bit of break from Shabbos and deals with other issues. Other issues that are based on Psukim. Psukim mostly in Navi, although this Mishnah over here is going to have a couple Psukim from Chumash. But basically, halacha is that we see through the course of Navi or Chumash. So we were talking mostly about Tumah. From the beginning of the ninth parak, we were talking about Tumas Avodah Zarah, talked about Tumah of a boat, we talked about Kalayim, and now we're going to be talking about Tumah of Paletah Shechva Zarah. But really, as you'll see over the course of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, Sunday's daf, it's going to be much more about Matan Torah. Let's start over here. We're going to be talking about the Tumah of Paletah Shechva Zarah, which means the following. A man has a seminal emission, so he's going to become Tameh. He's an Avatum, he's the source of Tumah, and the actual Shechva Zarah itself is an Avatum as well. Now, for him, the remedy to become Tahor is a very simple remedy. He tovels in the mikvah, and that night, with Harav Shemesh, he's going to be Tahor. The woman's remedy to becoming Tahorah is a little bit more complex, because the woman has Shechva Zarah inside of her, and the Shechva Zarah will perhaps seminate her, but at the same time also may drip out as well. And now, as long as it's inside of her, so she's not Tameya, right? Tumah Balua, when you have Tumah absorbed inside another item, so that item, in this case happens to be a woman, is not going to become Tameya. But as the Shechva Zarah drips out of her, so it will make her Tameya. How long is this going to go? So it's not going to be contingent on how long the Shechva Zarah comes out, but it's rather going to be contingent on how long the Shechva Zarah has at least the potential, the possibility of creating a child. So in other words, as long as there's a potency to the Zarah, so then that Zarah will make her Tameah. Well, how long are we talking about? How long is the Zarah potent? So this is going to be subject to a machlokus. We're going to see in our Mishnah one opinion, and then as we go over the course of the Gemara, we're going to see three, perhaps even four opinions in terms of how long Zerah is going to become potent. So what do you see from our Mishnah? That a Poletet Shechva Zerah on Yom HaShlishi, on the third day, is Tameya. Meaning our Mishnah states very clearly that the third day after Bia, still the Shechva Zerah that comes out of her, the Zerah that comes out of her, is going to make her a Poleta Shechva Zerah to the degree where she now is Tameya, where she's going to tovel the mikvah and she'll have Harav Shemesh. So even on the third day after Bia. How do we know all this? Where does this come from? All this is going to come from the Hachana, the preparation for Har Sinai, and we will talk more about it as we enter into the Gemara. Right now, let's go finish the Mishnah, and then we'll come back and discuss Poleta Shechva Zerah.
Third day after, or the third day?
Third day after. Well, I'll go. We'll be much more specific as we get to the Gemara. We'll actually point to days. Third day after the Mila comes down on Shabbos, which means that the Mila was on Thursday.
So Friday's day two. Shabbos now is going to be day three. Third day after the milah, so you could still wash the baby. Meaning the assumption is, the default assumption is that the baby's in critical condition and you don't have to do any type of testing or diagnosis. You just assume that the baby requires medical attention and that the baby is critically ill. So whatever Chillul Shabbos is necessary, you'll do even on the third day. Now, I said the word even on the third day. That's not really clear from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says on the third day. The Mishnah doesn't say afilu b'yom ha-shlishi. So later we're going to discuss what's the correct understanding of the Mishnah. On the third day, even the third day, ostensibly, intuitively, would make more sense to say even the third day. We'll discuss that later. So shenem raviyu b'yom ha-shlishi b'yosem ko'avim. So here we go to another pasuk in Chumash. But this is a story of Shimon and Levi and Anshei Shechem, where he convinced them, you know, I think it's a great idea for all of you to get a milah. Okay, and you know the rest of the story? And if not, okay, Perek Lamed Daled in Bereishis, we just read it a couple weeks ago in Parsha. That is another raya. Now, again, but this raya, by the way, is kind of like the raya's Navi, meaning Torah doesn't say beferish that this is so, but in other words, based on the story that the Torah gives us, so we could deduce from the story that on the third day, already you're in a makom sakana, you're in a position of danger. How do I know that I tie scarf, whatever, shmata. Okay. And I tie the red wool on the horns of the goat. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we read every year. Chazon Yeshayahu. If the sins are going to be like red, so kasheleg yalbino, I'll whiten them like snow. And finally, the last halacha that we learned out based on Pesukim Minayin L'Sicha Shehi Kishtia B'Yom HaKippurim. How do I know that sticha, that anointing yourself, is like drinking on Yom Kippur? Alpha Bishen Rai Ladover, Zech Ladover. Now, there is no absolute proof, but there is an illusion in Psukim Shenema, V'tavo Kamayim B'Kerbo, U'Cheshemen Ba'atzmo Sav. Just like water goes inside of you, so too oil is absorbed by the body and consumed by the body. Okay? Multiple halachas, various halachas that are learned over through various psukim. No pasuk says beferish on any of these given points, but basically through just this critical reading of all these psukim, we generated four separate halachas. None of the halachas having to do with one another, but just these are simply four halachas that are learned out based on critical reading of the psukim. And now we'll spend the rest of today talking about polete shechva zera. Now, but really, we're going to be talking about Man Torah. Now, here's the basic idea. Mamad Har Sinai takes place on Shabbos. Was it the 6th of Sivan? Was it the 7th of Sivan? So you got to come to tomorrow's daf to find out. To know what was the date of the calendar. But in terms of what day of the week it was, so we're all in agreement that it was on Shabbos. The Torah was given to us on Shabbos. And we had to prepare ourselves, meaning we're all going to have divine revelation. Every member of the Jewish people is going to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamad Har Sinai. And so we needed preparation. And part of the preparation is that everybody was not to be Tameh. Now, even though I just said that, I'm going to modify that statement. In other words, all forms of Tumah are to be taken care of and getting rid of? Not necessarily. In fact, if you take a look at that top Tosos on the Amud, so Tosos over here addresses, did they really wait for every type of Tuma and try to get rid of every type of Tuma? Afa pishaboso sha'adayin lo nina Torah. So Tosos actually starts off with even a more basic point, which is the following. We're preparing for Mamad Har Sinai, but we're not Jews yet. Okay, right. It's a good point. It's a fundamental point. We're not Jewish yet. In other words, we are only circumscribed and obligated to keep the Torah at Mamad Har Sinai. We're preparing for Mamad Har Sinai, so we're not confined yet to halacha. So Tosus wonders, we're learning halacha from a point in our history where we're not yet halachic Jews, right? And Tosus to that responds, Alpha Pisha Ba'osa Shah Dain Lo Nitna Torah, Mikal Makom, Mistamahik Pita Torah, Devar Shah Sili Yos Tumah, Acher Matan Torah. But look, Tosfos says it's a simple argument. Tosfos makes the argument. We're about to receive the Torah, so one would only imagine that at a point where we're at the threshold, we're at the cusp of becoming B'nai Yisrael and obligated to keep the Torah. So you got to imagine that even though it's beforehand, we want to be in that state of being where we're ready to receive the Torah halachically. Similar to a ger, but yeah, okay. Okay, now, now, I said we get rid of our tumah before Mamad Har Sinai. So Tosfos over here really qualifies. That's not totally true. We don't get rid of all of our tumas. In fact, we don't discuss any other tumah outside of being a Baal Keri or Polet Sheikh Fazer, which is the same thing, really. So, but we don't really concern ourselves with any other tumah. And Tosfos notes this. There's no issue about Azavim. There's no discussion about Mitzorah. There's no discussion about Bol Nida. Now you could simply say there were none. I mean, there was no Zav, there was no Mitzorah, there was no Bol Nida. You could say that. However, there's no discussion about what is of them. Sorry, before I get on to the next point of Tosfos, Tosfos says, look, there was no problem with someone being a Zav, or a Mitzorah, or a Bol Nida. Meaning, if anybody was any other form of Tumah, that would not preclude them from Har Sinai. In fact, Tosfos says, let's work backwards. Let's see it this way. When Brachos, and he's quoting from Daf Chav Beis and Brachos. That's the whole sugya in Brachos about a Baal Keri. Right? Remember? And a Baal Keri, it was Takanas Ezra, a Baal Keri cannot learn Torah. Okay. But only a Baal Keri cannot learn Torah. The Gemara there says, if you're any other form of Tumah, Zav, Zava, Nida, Yoleda, Smitsora, Bol Nida, if you're any other type of Tumah, you can learn Torah. Why? Because Ezra Takana was modeled after Mamad Har Sinai. So Mamad Har Sinai, all these people were right to have divine revelation. So Ezra said, so if they were right then, they're going to be right now. Right? So Tosfos says, so what do you see from that Gemara in Brachos? It's very clear that the only form of Tumah that we were concerned with in Hachana for Mamad Har Sinai was only Tumas Baal Keri, but not any other form of Tumah. And then obviously the question is why? Why is Baal Keri the only form of Tumah that we had to try to expunge as opposed to any other Tumah? And Tosfos continues to write, Perish the Baal Keri, Eino Be'emo of Yira, Demachmas Kalas Roshu Baal. So Tosfos says, look, because how is a person a Baal Keri and how is a woman a Pelotah Sheikh Vazera is because they had Tashmish Amita that required Kalas Rosh. In other words, it involved Kalas Rosh. Kalas Rosh, frivolity, lightheadedness. In other words, it's not serious. Meaning you could still be in a somber state, in a serious state, and be a Zav or be a Mitzora. I guess that's going to be a little bit tough to explain. But you could be a Zav and you could be a Mitzorah. But if the man's a Baal Keri and the woman's a Pelet Sheikh Vazera, that means that they were not in a somber state. They were in a frivolous state. And for Mamad Har Sinai, we needed a certain mood. And that mood precluded the man to be a Baal Keri and the woman to be a Pelet Sheikh Vazera. Okay? It's an important Tosfos that really details that for Mamad Har Sinai, it wasn't all forms of Tumah that we wanted to expunge. It was simply the Tumah of, for a man, a Baal Keri, and for a woman, Pelet Sheikh Vazera. Okay. With all that stated, so now let's start with the Gemara, Reish Shadol Kareb Elazar ben Azariah. So, I told you when we started the Mishnah, it is a machlokas. We're going to have a basic machlokas between the Tanayim, how long a woman is Pelet Sheikh Vazera. Now, I don't mean lamaisa. I mean halachically. How many days after her tashmish with her husband is that Zera going to be considered Tameh? An Avatuma making her an Avatuma for discharging the Zera. So our Mishnah is not going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, clearly. Well, first of all, what is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah? The opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is that a woman's Pelet Sheikh Zera for 2 days. On the third day, she's Tahora. So, and what does our Mishnah say? Okay, fine, simple. Our mission is not going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Obviously, there's a Tana who argues with Rav Elazar ben Azariah. But that problem, says the Gemara, is the following, Sefer Rav Elazar ben Azariah. However, the second half of the Mishnah is going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. It says in the second half of the Mishnah, Marchitza Nesamila. We're going to learn later on that opinion that the Mila poses a critical danger for 3 days, that is Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So now, small problem, first half of the Mishnah is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, second half of the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So, Sefer Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Dikar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Tahara Shaman Alei. Now, the Gemara is going to answer like this. There are two basic mahalchim in terms of how to deal with this problem. Our problem is, we have one Mishnah, and we have part A of the Mishnah not going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and part B is going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So the two general mahachim is either just live with it, okay? And anyway, our particular Mishnah deals with so many different issues, okay?
Rebbe can choose which one
he wants. Right. And Rebbe, for whatever, for his reasons, felt that the first part of the Mishnah is not and the second is. Fine. That's one general mahalach. The other general mahalach, which has its own issues, is we're going to take a pen out and we're going to change the Mishnah. We're going to have to edit the Mishnah in order to unify that the one Mishnah, the singular Mishnah, is going like one Tana. Meaning, if you have a Mishnah here in Shabbos and a Mishnah in another Masechta, that doesn't necessarily need agreement, but in one Mishnah, you need agreement to the point where, if I need to take out my pen and edit, so the Gemara says, we'll do that. So the Gemara...
Zayis talks about 3 days after the intercourse, while the Mishnah talks counting.
Yeah, I understand
so that. The
Gemara does not see any ambiguity over there. The Gemara does not feel that there's no ambiguity in terms of what the day, what's going to be of the third day. But Elazar ben Azariah says absolutely she's Tahara, and our Mishnah says she's absolutely Tamei. That's okay. So anyway, Mandala Moki Kitanai. So Tanaresha Tahara Umikilalukula Karev Elazar ben Azariah. Now, if you're of that school where you want to see consistency in a singular Mishnah, so what you're going to have to do is you're going to take out your pen, and don't do this, I don't recommend this, but take out your pen, go back to the Mishnah, and now you see the word Temeah, change it, Tahara. Okay. That is approach number one of the Gemara, if you subscribe to that school of thought. Uman Demuki, it's funny, the Gemara says, if you subscribe to that school, we don't know who necessarily subscribes to which school, but apparently, the Gemara is assuming that they're both legitimate schools of thought in terms of how to learn Mishnayos. Mandamukim Kitanai, Reisha Rabbanim Asefer Karev Elazar ben Azariah. And if you're of the opinion that it's okay for a Mishnah to hold, subscribe to different opinions, fine. Tana Rabbanan. Paletz Shechvaz Rabbi Yamashishi Torah Diver Karev Elazar ben Azariah. And here we go. Well, as I mentioned, in our Mishnah, we're only given one opinion, but there's going to be three, possibly four different opinions in terms of how long a woman, after having relations with her husband, how long is she going to be considered poleta shechva zera, which means if any of the zera comes out of her body, so she now will be tamei, she'll be tamei. So how many days after tashmish? So opinion number one is that of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Tan Rabbanan. So the first opinion in this particular braisa is that on day three she's Tahora. Okay, and that is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And now let's put this into very practical terms. What does that mean according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah? It means that she had Tashmish, right? I'm working with the Mam and Har Sinai model. Right? The Torah was given Shabbos morning. Okay, so when was the last time that she could have relations with her husband? According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Thursday. And by Thursday, we mean basically any part of Thursday. Thursday meaning Wednesday night, Thursday meaning Thursday morning, Thursday meaning Thursday afternoon. Any part of Thursday that she can have relations. So that on the third day, now it's interesting, by the way, because Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and he's not the only one, there's going to be another Tana as well. It's not contingent on the number of hours post-relations. It is all going to be contingent on the day.
It includes the day.
Yes, but I understand it includes the day, but my point is, if I can try to make it clearly, is that it's the day itself which is going to be the marker and the only marker of determining whether the Zera is potent or not potent. Meaning somehow, in a way that I cannot explain, the day becomes the semen is on the clock of the day and not necessarily on any type of internal clock. So for example, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, she has relations with her husband on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, whatever the case is. So then Friday, obviously she abstains going into Friday, which means Thursday ben Hashmashos. She's abstaining. That means Thursday night, means Friday morning, means Friday afternoon, obviously. That means come Shabbos now, any polet shikra that she has on Shabbos will be tahara. Okay? So on the third day, says Rav Elazar ben Azariah, after she had tashmish with her husband, she will be tahara. And all this is based on not an internal clock of the Zera, but rather on the actual day itself. Okay. Then the second opinion that comes out, I'm sorry, I read that. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Pamim Shein Dalet Onas, Pamim Shein Hey Omos, Pamim Shein Vav Onas. Now, an Ona is a 12-hour period. An Ona could be the night, could be the day. Okay, and during the equinox, they would be equal, and presumably in the winter and the summer, they wouldn't, but okay, that's already too detailed. Okay, but Vav Onas, it's going to be 6 Onas. Now, this opinion of Rabbi Yishmael is saying Vav Onas. What is Vav Onas? That's really code for 3 days. Okay?
Right,
it's correct. It's
3 times 2, 2 times 3,
however you want to do the math. It comes out to 3 days.
Right.
And also, this is an important point. Even though he says the word ona, he really means days. Okay? And it's a little bit strange that he uses the word ona to express his position when the truth of the matter is he means 3 days. So in other words, basically, take the position of Rav Elazar ben Azariah and just back it up a day. So in other words, the last time that she can have relations with her husband in our Mamad Har Sinai model would be Wednesday. Wednesday. So that means, in other words, Ben Hashmashos on Thursday, she would, Wednesday night, she would already have to abstain. So that, no Tashmish for Thursday, no Tashmish on Friday, Shabbos now, which is the fourth day after her having Tashmish, she would be Tahara. That is going to be the second opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo'olam Hei. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's 5 onos. Now, when he says 5 onos, so let's assume an onos 12 hours. 5 times 12, 60 hours. Rabbi Akiva, of the 3 tanaim that now we just exposed ourselves to, he's the one who says that the Zera is built on an internal clock. Meaning it is not contingent on days, but rather contingent on when they actually had Bia. From the time that they had Bia, 60 hours forward. 5 onos. And then and only then do we say that any zera that comes out of her is srucha, is no longer potent, and therefore she's not tamea. V'imyatza mixas ona rishona nosnala mixas ona shishis. And because it's internally based, it is not based on the day, but it's based on the hour from the time they had tashmish, so that means it's going to be 60 hours. And if, let's say, she had bia in the middle of that first ona, so then you're going to have to go 5 onas, but obviously that wasn't 5 onas, because it was sometime in the first ona. So whatever was missing from that first ona, you just simply add that to the 6th ona, and so basically it's another way of saying it's got to be 60 complete hours from the time of Tashmish Amita. Okay, so in this price now we are exposed to 3 opinions over here in terms of how long the Zera inside of a woman is srucha. I'm sorry, how long is it potent until when does it become srucha? So again, let's just quickly review. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it is on the third day she's tahora, which again, it's not an internal clock. It's based on the day. So if she had bia on any time during Thursday, so that means Friday, that would mean Shabbos. On the third day, she'd be tahora. Which, I mean, if you want to put it this way, that really means that it could be just a shade over 24 hours.
Right.
Right? In other words, she'll have beer with her husband on right before Ben Hashmashos of Thursday, right? Thursday afternoon she'll have beer. And that would mean then that Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, already by Shabbos, already it's Srucha, and she'll no longer be a Palatah Shechvat Zera. Okay. The second opinion is that of, we'll call Rabbi Yishmael, which we'll also call our Mishnah, which is that on the third day, the Zera is still considered Zera. It's still potent. It's not Srucha. And so therefore, she would have to, in order to be ready for Mamad Har Sinai, she would have to have abstained already on Wednesday night, or Wednesday, right? Wednesday, Bein HaShemashos. And so that means then that would be Thursday, Friday, and only on Shabbos then she would be.
He also counts it as a full day. Wednesday.
And again, they're right. Their consistent position between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is not a clock internally based on when Tashmish was, but it's all based on the day. And it doesn't matter what point during the day.
One full day.
Correct. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it has to be one full day, and according to Rabbi Yishmael, it has to be two full days.
This is a totally different issue.
This is a Zera issue. And then finally, the third opinion that we saw in this bright says Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says 60 hours, and this is internally based. So in other words, from Tashmish Amita, you mark it on the clock, 60 hours going forward, then and only then is she no longer considered Palatah Shechvat Zera. Now, I'm going to make this point clear. I think I made it clear earlier before, but let me make it clear. That doesn't mean, according to anybody, that she is automatically Tameah post having relations with her husband. It means that if Zera comes out of her body, because while inside her body, it's nothing. It's not, does not make her Tameah. It is only when it comes out of the body. So if it comes out of the body, then and only then, she'll be Tameah if it comes out while it's still potent. And how long is it after Tashmish Amita? Is it going to be potent? Three-way machlokas. Okay? She'll be an avatum. So an Ashes Cohen, after having Tashmish, so she wouldn't be able to eat Trumah. She's an avatumah, so I would venture to say you're correct. Now, mind you, by the way, that after she has Tashmish Amita, she could tovel the mikvah, she could wait her of Shemesh, because remember, it's only if the Zera comes out of her, she'll be Tameah. So she could take that chance. In fact, you'll see in today's daf that that's pretty much what they did in Mamad Har Sinai. I'll explain better in just a moment. Okay, the imyata mixasona. Sorry, we did this. Amru rabbana kamei de rav papa. V'amile rav papa l'rava. Okay, question of who had the discussion, but whoever had the discussion went like this. Bishlam ala rav alazah ben azariah karabban and damre, behavid prisha, rav yishmal karav yosi, damar bedalad avid prisha. You'll see in tomorrow's daf. It will be a machlokus between the chachamim and rav yosi. When did Moshe give instructions to Bnei Yisrael, separate from your wives? The instructions were either on Wednesday or on Thursday. So the Gemara says, good. That machlokus, which is tomorrow's daf, is really the same machlokus over here. Perfect. But I'll tell you what's not good, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva simply does not fit. He does not fit in any of the positions of Mamad Har Sinai. Now, Rabbi Akiva, come on. Who is he going like? Because for Rabbi Akiva, it's not contingent on days. It's 60 hours, period. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who is he following in terms of how Mamad Har Sinai went? So the Gemara explains like this. Olam k'Rav Yosi k'dama Rav Ada b'Ava Moshe b'Hashkama Ala v'Hashkama Yared. So the Gemara says like this. First of all, we're going to say that Rabbi Akiva goes like Rav Yosi. Has to be. Because it can't be that Rav Yosi followed the position of the Chachamim, where that Moshe only gave the instructions on Thursday, because he gave the instructions on Thursday, there's no way with a 60-hour waiting period, there's no way instructions of Hibadlu, of separation, comes on Thursday, and they'll be ready for Mamad Har Sinai and Shabbos. Okay, so he goes like Rav Yosi. And then we're going to add one other point, which is that we're going to go like Rav Ada Ba'ava, that Moshe's instructions came in the morning. Meaning, so now we're going to really pinpoint when abstention began. It began Wednesday morning. So, Kedam Ravada Ba'ava Moshe Ba'ashkama Allah Ba'ashkama Yarad. Moshe, whenever he went up in the morning. Whenever he came down in the morning. Meaning the morning is when Moshe made a move. We're going to go to tomorrow's daf. Not now, but I'm saying tomorrow you're going to see we're going to go through Perek Yotes inside, and we're basically going to try to figure out what day Moshe went up, what day Moshe came down, all in preparation for Mamon Har Sinai, which took place on Shabbos. For our purposes right now, all we need to know is that this position of Rav Adab Ba'ava, is that he always went up in the morning, he always came down in the morning. So Ba'ashkama Allah Dechsev Vayishkem Moshe Ba'boker, Vayal Al Har Sinai, Ba'ashkama Yar Dechsev Lech Reid Ve'alita, Atav Aron Imcha, or Imach, Make Yeshirida La'aliyah Ma'alila Ba'ashkama, if you read Ba'ashkama. So based on a drush, we know that he always went up in the morning, he always came down in the morning. So, it comes out now that when did Moshe give the instructions to separate? Wednesday morning. And so now that we have Wednesday morning, so now what do we have? Wednesday, Thursday night, Thursday, Friday night, Shabbos. Okay? So that's how we get to the five onos of Rabbi Akiva. So lama leila meimra lohu v'hamer avhuna Yisrael kedoshim v'ein masham shlux mitosam hayom. So the Gemara just wonders, just a technical issue. Well, Yisrael kedoshim, they don't have tashmish during the day. So why did he have to give instruction to abstain already in the morning? It's really a technical issue. Meaning, couldn't he wait till Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening before having to have to give these instructions? So the Gemara says, look, there's no iser to have tashmish with one's wife during the day. It is just simply not preferred. It's frowned upon, but under certain circumstances, it's okay. Hamaravim hayabeis alfa mutter. It's a tznius issue. If the house is dark, it's mutter. Hamaravim vitemarav papa tamichacham afel bataliso mutter. A tamichacham knows how to behave himself, even if the room is not dark. But a tamichacham knows how to engage in tashmish under the umbrella of tznius. So that, in other words, it's not. There's no iser to have tashmish during the day. And yes, Moshe had to give instructions of abstention already on Wednesday morning, and he could not wait till Wednesday afternoon. Okay. So far, so good. We have now exposed ourselves to three opinions. We try to clarify how do these three opinions work vis-a-vis Mamad Har Sinai. We haven't seen the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. But in other words, knowing in advance that there's a debate in terms of when Moshe gave the instructions of the abstention, so basically our positions of Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Shmuel complement nicely to the machlokas in tomorrow's daf, and then it's just a question of trying to fit Rabbi Akiva in, and the Gemara basically try to work him in that he subscribes to Rav Yossi, but Moshe, we know specifically that Moshe's instructions of abstention came in the morning, so that means that Moshe's instructions were Wednesday morning, and that's how we got to five onos according to Rabbi Akiva. Here's the problem. The problem is we're now on the top of Pei Vav Amid Beis. V'hatfu le'yom ninu. Now, comes out that according to everybody, when did they tov on the mikvah? So they tov on the mikvah Friday night. Friday night, everybody tov on the mikvah. All the women tov on the mikvah. Now, we know how this works. So we've gone over this time and again. If you're an avatuma, you're a balkari, you're a pulat shechva zera. So how does your tahara work? It works like this. You tov on the mikvah, and then you need Harif Shemesh, which means that you need nightfall. You need to experience the sun setting. Okay. So now, the time period between you toveling in the mikvah and Harif Shemesh, what are you called? You're called a tvul yom, which means that you have a residual amount of tumah. A little bit of tumah left. There's nothing you need to do to get rid of the tumah other than wait. Wait till Harif Shemesh. You're a Kohen who's a Balkari, you tov on the mikvah, and that night, enjoy your truma. First Mishnah and Brachas. Good? Here's the problem, it's a very simple one, which is that based on everything that we just went through, and based on the calendar that we just did, so the women toveled on Friday night. Toveling on Friday night only starts the process of Tahara. And it's not till Saturday night where they're going to be totally Tahara. So the question over here is a very simple one. If the whole purpose of abstention is to get rid of the Tumas Balkari and the Polet Shechva Zera, and she tovels on Friday night, Shabbos morning, she's still a tvul yom. Okay.
Could have been given
Ah, so the Gemara's response to that is, Ben, very good. So the Hatul Yom Ninu, Abai Baravin, Rav Chanina Baravin, Dami Tavayu, Nina Torah, Latul Yom. Good. Okay, you're right. Conclusion is the sound conclusion. The women were Tul Yom. And, well, hold on one second, I misspoke. The women could have been the Tul Yom because you're allowed to receive the Torah even as a Tul Yom.
I mean, just talking about women who have shiva. What I guess Zawar is what Gedolah was doing, like doing their shiva nekima.
Yeah, so you missed. No. I discussed the beginning of the daf. Don't. Yeah, you could listen. Listen to the tape. Okay, it's on the tape. In the Gemara, the Nina Tola Tzvul Yom. Yasim Mereima Vekamal Hashmaita. Amalei Ravina Lamereima Nina Kamart or Ruuya Kamart. And now the Gemara wants to know the following. It's an interesting discussion. We now establish that the issue is that you can't be a Balkari and you can't be Pulitzer Shechva Zera. As long as you started the Tahara process, that's enough. To receive the Torah and to have a Mamon Harsina and divine revelation, it's okay to be a Tful Yom. And so now what the Gemara wants to know is, good, I know the Halacha, but historically, the Lamaisa, were they Tful Yom? Now, it's funny. My response would be, yes, they were Tvul Yom. Not necessarily. Because here's what they could have done. And this, I'm just saying over Rashi now. What they could have done is that they could have Tovel on Friday, meaning even though their Zera inside of their body is still potent, and even though if it were to come out, it would make them once again a Palat HaShechva Zera, but they could Tovel in the Mikvah on Friday, experience Harav Shemesh, so now they're totally Tahara, and then if it happens to be that they have another discharge of Zera, so they'll Tovel again. But maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it so they Toveled on Friday afternoon, had Harav Shemesh, and none of the women, in anticipation of Mamad Har Sinai, had any need to Tovel again on Friday night. Huh? Or for that matter, Shabbos morning. Let's say Friday night. So Dami Tavayu Nina Torah. So I'm sorry. Yasim Reima Vekamal Hashmai Damalei Ravina Reima Nina Kamart or Ruuya Kamart. So Amalei Ruuya Kamina. So the Gemara says Ruuya, meaning they were fit. Meaning exactly like I described. They all toveled on Friday afternoon. They all took the risk, and nobody needed to tovel again on Friday night. So they were all good. But the halacha is ru'uya. Could have been tvul yom, it would have been fine. V'lit b'lu b'nei shimshe, v'lik b'la Torah b'nei shim...
I'm sorry, just center, but when you say the idea of going to the mikvah, you cannot have any zera, and you get there, you have to go to the bathroom if you go to the mikvah. So what is the point of going to the mikvah if the zera is in them, no?
I'm unclear.
When a person goes to the mikvah, they're supposed to relieve themselves. So there's an Ezra there going into the mikvah doesn't help.
Right.
In this whole point, you're saying that they have the Ezra in them. They're going into the mikvah the night before.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have helped if it go Friday night. It would be too young again.
Let me finish. Let's discuss this after. Okay. I'm a little bit unclear. We'll talk after. So I'm Ruhi Kamina. Velitvala Benishimshav Likbala Torah Benishimshav. Now. They all told them the mikvah Friday night. So that means Friday night they were ready to accept the Torah. So why wasn't Mamad Har Sinai Friday night? Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Lomer Rosh B'Seisu Dibarti. So the Gemara says that's not how it works. Mamad Har Sinai is not during the night. In other words, divine revelation was just that. It was revelation. It was revelatory. And so therefore there was no secret, meeting between the people in Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo b'seiser, lo mirosh, b'seiser dibarti. I didn't speak in secret. In other words, it specifically had to be during the day. So, Friday night was the first opportunity to tovel. They toveled that Friday night. And then, Mam and Hasina took place during the day. Gemara just wants to know, v'lit b'lu b'tzafra d'shabasa, v'lit b'lu tor b'tzafra d'shabasa. So why not go to the mikvah Shabbos morning? I mean, all the Hasidim go to the mikvah Shabbos morning. So why not have Bnei Yisrael tovel in the mikvah Shabbos morning? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Shloye Alal Hochel Kabel Torah Alal Hochel Tvila. So the Gemara says mass confusion. It just, in other words, it's everyone's just running around. That's no good. Meaning, we want it to be so that on Shabbos morning, when they all wake up, Hashkama Saboker, So they're all going to be ready for Mamad Har Sinai. Since they all have the opportunity to Tov on Friday night, meaning that's now the first time where the Zera is no longer Zera, it's Srucha. So now, do it, take care of it as quickly as possible, and then you're ready now, Shabbos morning, everyone's ready. Amar Bichab Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zudev Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Ava Chachamim Omrim, Sheish Onos Shlemos Be'inan. Another opinion. So far we've introduced ourselves to three opinions. The three opinions are, it's 2 days, 3 days, or 60 hours. And now we have an opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Sheish Onos Shlemos Be'inan. You need 6 onas. Every ona is made up of 12 hours, let's say. So 12 times 6, 72. 72-hour period. I'm Rav Chisam Achlok, Shapirsha Min Isha. Ava Pirsha Min Ha'ish, Temea Kozman Shilacha. Now, so now we have a fourth opinion in terms of how long it is Zera. Now, this position of, in other words, we've been assuming throughout this whole discussion, why is she Temea? And the explanation is very simple. Because what's coming out of her body is Zera. Zera, which is potent, which is not Srucha, and therefore, as it's coming out of her body, as it's dripping out of her body, so she is now a Av HaTuma, a source of Tuma. What about the Zera that comes out of a man? The Gemara says, we don't work with this period of 2 days, 3 days, 60 hours, 72 hours. When it comes of the man, there's only one criteria in terms of the duration of how long it's an avatoma, and that is while it's still moist. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chista, machlokish pirsha min isha aval pirsha min aish tamei kol zman shehi lacha." As long as it's moist, it's still going to be tamei. Meisiv Rav Sheshes v'chobege v'choor sheyi alav shechva zera. This excludes Shechvazer, which is Srucha. Now, this Braisa is not telling us, Shechvazer, where did it come from? So, my law, Shapir Shem in the Ish, law, Shapir Shem in the Isha. So the Gemara says, are we talking about where it comes out of the man? No, it comes talking about when it comes out of the woman. Meaning, when it comes out of the woman, we can have this conversation of whether it is or it isn't Srucha. It's always going to come out of her Lacha, Lecha, but how long has it been inside of her? 2 days, 3 days, 60 hours, 72 hours, whatever position you adopt. But in other words, after that point in time, even though it's still moist, it's no longer potent, it's Srucha, and therefore she is not, she won't be Tamea, and the Zera itself also won't be Tamei as well. The Gemara is going to ask a couple of questions now to wrap up today's daf. They're going to be indelicate questions. I apologize for the indelicacy of the questions, but remember, though, the Gemara is just interested in the halacha. And even though some of these questions may seem a little bit indelicate, but we're halachists over here. The Gemara just moves forward. So, Shechvazer Shayisol B'mei Kusis Mahu. Now, basically, women, because of their internal body heat, so the Zera inside of them remains potent, but only for a circumscribed amount of time. What the time is a machlokas. But it is a certain amount of time. How about Zera inside of a non-Jewish woman? Is her internal heat, is her biology, her anatomy, her physiology, the same as a Jewish woman? And interestingly enough, the Gemara is about to say, may not be. The Gemara says, and why would there be a difference? It's fascinating. Mal Yisrael, the dage b'mitzvos chavul gufayu. Alkom delo dage b'mitzvos lo. Jewish women stress a lot more than non-Jewish women. Okay? Perhaps you've experienced that in the course of your own life, but the Gemara says so. But the Gemara says it's healthy stress, because they stress over mitzvos. That's a good stressor. It's good. They don't stress over anything else. So, Baruch Hashem. And so, the Gemara says, because of that, they're dagei b'mitzvos chavah gufayu. So therefore, it could be that their internal heat that they generate is a greater heat. And so therefore, maybe it not keeps it longer, meaning what the Gemara now is suggesting is is that it's a shorter time. It's a shorter lifetime. It's a shorter lifespan inside of her. But alkum delo dage be mitzvos. But the non-Jews are not stressing as much, and so therefore it could be that it may last longer. Oh, Dilma, Kevin, Dachlin, Shkatsim, Ramasim, Chava, Gufayu. Gemara says, but you got to take diet into consideration as well. They have a different diet than we do. And maybe their diet is going to generate a greater heat in their body. And it could be that we can argue the other way. That maybe the Zer inside of them is not going to last that long because they eat Shkatsim, Ramasim. Okay. And you want to look to me to explain to you how the diet affects the biology and the physiology, I'm not the right person. But the Gemara says it's a possibility. And the Gemara says, and if you want to argue that maybe this is correct, and maybe because of their diet, and maybe because they eat not kosher, so therefore they generate more internal heat, and the zera does not last along inside the body, what about the zera inside of an animal? Isha, I told you, it's going to be a little bit indelicate, but again, the Gemara just wants to know, how does it react? So, Isha de Islay Prusdor Mestreches, Ava Behema Delez de Prusdor Lo, Odil Moloshna. And the Gemara says, maybe that a woman has a Prusdor, so therefore it shortens the lifespan of the Zera. An animal does not have a Prusdor, the Gemara says, maybe it does not make a difference. Teku, the Gemara leaves his questions unresolved. So as much as we know how long the zera is potent inside of a woman, although I say we know, it's a machlokas, it's a four-way machlokas, but I'm saying, whoever's position you subscribe to, we know. But the Gemara says the truth is that it may not be the same regarding women, and non-Jewish women, and it may not be the same regarding animals as well. Okay. All right, we're going to pause over here, because I know we have still more to do, but really, this is the beginning of tomorrow's sugya. We'll start it tomorrow on Shabbos. It's appropriate because Torah was given on Shabbos. We all agree that Torah was given on Shabbos. It's only going to be a question of the date. I strongly recommend, prepare for tomorrow's daf. And by preparation, I mean, go through the Chumash. Specifically, Perek Yutes of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Yisro, because really, we're going to basically analyze and pick apart all the psukim in Perek Yutes in order to try to come to an understanding of what exactly took place those 3 days in preparation of Mamad Har Sinai, the Shloshes Yimei Hagbala, which we'll see tomorrow. Okay, yeah, you got it. Prepare. All right, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. For Refuah Shleima, to Binyamin Zeva Kohen Ben Shimon Rivka, Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha Maharas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Zol Fiach Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar. Nai Chafetz Amatziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.